سلام علیکم و رحمت الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین، صلاة و السلام على سیدنا و نبینا حبیب قلوبنا و طبیب نفوسنا و شفیع ذنوبنا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد. و على آله الطيبين الطاهرين و لعنت الله على اعدائهم اجمعين من الان الى لقاء يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم اشرح لي صدري و يسر لي امري و احلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. If you take the echo off, I will appreciate it. May Allah inshallah accept all our prayers, our a'mal and dua inshallah, and bless us for our presence in this majlis. Please recite another salawat and gift it to Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Yakam aban be ma bedi. Congratulations on the great a'yad that we have, alhamdulillah, the milad and the birthday of our Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And his son Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. First to Imam of Asr and to all you mu'mineen and mu'minat inshaAllah. It's blessings for me to be here tonight inshaAllah among you all mu'mineen and mu'minat inshaAllah. We ask Allah to bless us, give us tawfiq inshaAllah, and accept our presence tonight, make it zakhira for dunya. Wal akhira inshaAllah, recite another salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
We are here to celebrate the great occasion, the birth of the last Prophet of Allah, the last Messenger of Allah, who finished the mission of 124,000 prophets. The one that's all Anbiya and Awliya, they considered themselves as Muslim. They worked together, all of them, to prepare the situation for Islam as the last religion. We see that even Ibrahim, the father of Tawheed, in Quran we recite, he's saying, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ. The reason that Rasulullah does not only belong to us Muslims, he belongs to the whole humanity, we see that because in this dua, Ibrahim is asking Allah, Ya Allah, please make me and my son Muslims, to be among the Muslimin, those who are submitted to you. And then he said, وَمِن زُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. And also my progeny, I want my progeny to be Muslim as well. The Prophet that does not only belong to us, and the one who is the reason of the creation of the world. I'm going to talk to you in two parts inshallah tonight. The first part to talk about himself, Rasulullah, and the second part to find a good example from his life, which his life is, the whole life is a great example for us, but a specific example inshallah, and then to see how we can apply that example into our lives for this time and our current time. We see that when it comes to him, talk about him, it is so difficult someone like me talk about Rasulullah. The one that, you know, this is the hadith says, لَوْلَاكْ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاقِ. If it was not because of you, I wouldn't have created the whole world. What do you mean, Ya Allah, if it was not for the sake of one person, you wouldn't create the whole world? You might have this question. Because this person is the one who brought the last religion, finished the last mission of Allah, and this person is the one that is the reason of creation. Quran said himself, you know, we created the whole world, we created you because of the مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ. We created you to worship, to reach salvation, to follow something. Otherwise, if we create the whole world, this great expense, This great example, this great, you know, world we created for the sake of just sleeping and eating and having some, you know, life and dying, this does not worth it. The whole reason of the creation is to reach salvation. To reach salvation, and that is through ibadah, worshipping Allah and getting to salvation. The one, you're here for the sake of who? For the sake of the one that his name, Rasulullah, always, the majority of the time comes after the name of Allah. You recite after salat, between the salat, you say, you know what? Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. So you see that his name to the end of the world. Whenever you say the name of him, you should say salawat and send your peace and blessings to what? To him and his families. When it comes to other prophets, you see that the priority of him. When it comes to other prophets, we see that in Quran says, when it comes to Musa said, Musa is going, Ja'ala miqatana. He went to visit God, right? And then Tur, Musa went to visit Allah. When it comes to Ibrahim, he said, Inni dhahibun ila Rabbi. I'm going towards my Rabb. But when it comes to Rasulullah, the ayat Surah Isra says, it's very interesting. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. When it comes to Rasulullah, no, we are taking him. And we are, you know, traveling him from the Masjid al-Nabi, from Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. The other prophets, they go themselves when it comes to the prophets. We are taking it because according to another hadith, people are, you know, the people of heaven, the angels are complaining that why we don't have Rasulullah. We want to see him when he went to Mi'raj. So we are taking him. We see that we're talking about a prophet, about a person that within 23 years have been through a lot of difficulties and tortures for the sake of establishing Islam, for the sake of teaching humanity how to be human beings, how to live. And what time at where? The worst situation, the worst location at the worst time. Those people that they don't even know that much, and they have wrong culture, that they bury their own daughters. Those people that they are so away from the civilized skills and manners, to this extent, he is the prophet coming from that region at the worst time that you see. And how much he's emphasizing on the ilm and the knowledge to remove superstitions and to remove all the jahl and ignorance from the community and from the humanity. The first, this is the only religion we see that the first verse that comes to Rasulullah, Iqra, right? You have to read. Read is about the ilm, understanding. When I read, I understand. It's about reading and understanding. Let me give you a beautiful example. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he had a son called Ibrahim. He was 1.5 years old when he passed away. How much he did and how much the religion of Islam is interesting for the whole world. Ibrahim was 1.5 years old when he passed away. And accidentally, in the same day, they had a solar eclipse. They call it Kusuf. They had solar eclipse. Those people that day were not even Muslim. They look at each other and says, look, he was right that he is prophet for the sake of the demise of his son. Look what happened to son. At that time, they didn't know that this is a solar and, you know, eclipse. They thought this is something happened for the sake of the son of Rasulullah. So he was right about it. He was right that he is a prophet. Look, so we have to become Muslim. We have to convert to Islam because of what? Because he's right what happened. That's the best situation. And that's the best occasion for Rasulullah says, yes, see, I was right, I told you, look what happened to son. And have all those other people that they're not following him, follow him. But when we see that Rasulullah, as soon as he heard about this, he went on the minbar in a masjid and started saying, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا يَنْكَسِفَانَ لَمَوْتُ أَحَدٍ. The solar and lunar eclipse would not happen because of the death of anyone. Do not relate that to my son.
But Rasulullah, that's the best occasion that you can use it for the sake of Islam, that you make them Muslim.
No. I came for the sake of what? Islam came for the sake of removing jahl. We're not going to add into the jahl of people. You see the attributes of Rasulullah. We are here to remove the jahl. We're not here to add into the superstition and jahl of people. We're dealing with this person and this prophet that someone like Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam should talk about him. Jibreel should come and talk about Rasulullah and the attributes of Rasulullah. But my question to you tonight, if I have all attention inshallah, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We usually have a deal. We say either I talk or you talk. Is it fair? Yeah. Because when we talk at the same time, then I'll be quiet because it's the majlis of Rasulullah, and then we have to respect the majlis, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. My question to you is, if we sit here another month, another year, and just praise Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt, and just praising them, I am so blessed that I'm Muslim, I'm so blessed that I'm Shia or this and that, and when I look at my life, it's not close to the life of Rasulullah. When I look at my life, when I analyze my life, I see that no, we are so far. This life and the life of Rasulullah is so far. Then is there any point just praising them? Just putting them somewhere and try to praise them? Did he come all the time, 23 years, for the sake of me praising him? What we're doing is praising him. Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah is like this. Ahlul Bayt are like this. Perfect. We have to talk about this. But when I look at my life and the life of my family, I say, no, we're 1,000 miles away from each other. What is the point of that? This comes to this example, comes to this point that I have to learn about the life of Ahlul Bayt and analyze the life of Ahlul Bayt and try to see what part of life of Ahlul Bayt are in my life and how close I am in action to life of Ahlul Bayt. You know, teenagers, when they want to have a role model, what do? They usually follow them in action. Not only they put the pictures of that person on the wall, they dress like that person, they walk like that person, they try to talk like that person, they want to, you know, copy everything that that person does and try to say, I am like that person. If I have Rasulullah in front of me and I am saying that he's my role model, then why don't follow him in action? When it comes to Ahlul Bayt, the same. What we learn, unfortunately, so far, when it comes to Muharram, to Safar, to Shahada, and all this, you know, birthdays and milads, we just sometimes sit here, talk about some irrelevant topics, and we try to say, yes, Alhamdulillah, we are very good, let's go home, we are Shia, we are Muslim, that's it. Then what is the time, what is the reason of this gathering together? It's all for what? You see that in this surah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. If it's for the sake of only crying, we have Muharram and Safar spending million and million dollars, the whole world, for the sake of crying for Imam al-Hussein and having a majlis, which is great to cry for Imam al-Hussein. But if it's the only reason, we see that people of Kufa, those people that they killed Imam Hussein are the first people that they cried for him. They didn't know what is the reason that he became Shaheed. And why they make him Shaheed and they killed him, they just cried for him. They said, no, there is a reason behind the life of Ahlul Bayt. There is a reason behind that tonight we're here and we are celebrating the birthday of Rasulullah and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Then I have to study their lives, but at the same time, I have to see how close is my life in action to life of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt. One of the important, I'm going to the second part, which is the most important part I'm going to talk about tonight. One of the most important attributes of Rasulullah. Let's go to Quran and see
What is the attribute that Allah is praising His last prophet, the most important person in the world, what He is praising him for and with? When it comes to him, he says to his Rasul, he says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your akhlaq and your manner is great. Someone like me, I might say, you know, this is so great cup. When I say great, I have my own measurement. Maybe it's not really great, huh? But someone like Allah, when He said this is great, that is definitely great. Because Allah doesn't exaggerate in something, right? When Allah is praising the khulq, and Allah is praising the akhlaq and the temper of Rasulullah, He says, لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. This is definitely a great khulq and husn khulq. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 151, He says, فَبِمَا رَحْبَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَنْتَ لَهُمْ. This is because of the mercy of Allah that you are nice and gentle to even the enemies. Even the enemies, or mushrikeen, right? وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا قَلِيدَ الْقَادِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were hard-headed with them, if you are rough with them, they will be away from you. They wouldn't become Muslim. One of the key success of the success of Rasulullah is the khulq and the temper of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this. Not only Rasulullah, even his families, when it comes to Ahlul Bayt, look how much they emphasize on this part, husn khulq, and having a good temper. Sometimes, you know, we hear in the history, in traditions, one day Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he went to one of the gardens that he had and he got inherited from his father. He knocked on the door of the garden, very nice garden he had. He knocked on the door. The gardener that he had, it was the servant of Imam Hassan. Whatever Imam Hassan is knocking on the door, he's not opening the door. He had to wait for a long time until the guy came and opened the door. Imam says, why you didn't open the door? And he's the servant of Imam. He looked at Imam, says, Yabna Rasulullah, I was not afraid of you. Although you're my master, but I was like, you know what? He's nice, he's not going to do something to me. What should Imam Hassan says? Oh, really? I'm paying you and you're working for me, you're my slave and you're not opening the door for me? Let's kick him. Do something, kick him out of here. You see that Imam Hassan, he looked at this guy, he says, Alhamdulillah that I live the way that no one is scared of me. Alhamdulillah that even you that is you're under me, you're working for me, you're not afraid of me. Look at the khulq and the akhlaq and the temper of Imam Hassan, huh? What do you if someone does something like this to me? My family? If I ask, I want a tea, and the tea is not right there when I ask for it, how would be my reaction? When I ask for food, my food is a little bit late, how would be my reaction? Someone came to Medina in front of Imam Hassan alayhi salam and started cursing Imam Hassan and Imam Ali, the father of Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan let him finish. When he finished, Imam said, what should he say? He said, you know what? Let's arrest him and then just torture him or kill him. Imam said, are you a traveler? I didn't see you around. You should be hungry. Do you have anywhere to go? Let's go to my house. The guy looked at the Imam Hassan and says, I'm cursing you and your father. You're inviting me to your house. Wallahi, you were the worst person to me. Now you're the best person to me. The akhlaq of Imam Hassan, right? What did and what happened? We see that the success of Rasulullah in this ayah, we see that the husn khulq of Rasulullah at that time. And we see that he is talking, the ayah that I recited for you is talking about his reaction and his interactions with who? With the enemies, with mushrikeen. Then look, you can say, let alone with his families. I want to talk about this part, and I want to see how and to what extent I got this attribute from the life of Rasulullah and I add it to my life. How close is this great attribute from this aspect? How close is my life to the life of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt? Husn khulq. We have a hadith. You know, sometimes you say, good for you, you have a nice house. Good for her, she has a nice car. We see that the hadith is saying, طُوبَى لِمَنْ حَسَّنَ خُلْقًا. Good for the person that his or her personality is a good personality, is a good tempered person. I want to talk in three different questions. Number one,
Who is a good temper? Why we say the good temper is very good? Why we should be a good temper, you know, people? The second, who is a good temper? Who do you call a good tempered person? And the third one, who is a bad tempered person, is a very practical topic I want to talk about. And the last one, why we're not good tempered and what are the reasons? Why we say that this is so important and Rasulullah they emphasize on these attributes to have husn khulq. We see that in hadith is introduced in Quran and hadith is one of the greatest attributes to have a good temper, akhlaq. The heaviest amal at the day of judgment that you want to calculate your amal, the heaviest amal at the day of judgment is the husn khulq according to hadith. We have hajj, we have zakat, we have salah, we have everything. The hadith saying that what? The heaviest amal from the good aspect is your husn khulq, your interactions with others. In akmal al iman, in akmal al mu'minin, imanan ahsanuhum khulqan. The most completed version of iman is for a person who has the best version of akhlaq. When I look at the heaven, it says, who are those people that they go to heaven more than other people? The hadith is saying that أَكْثَرُ مَا تَلِجُ بِهِمَّنِ the majority of people from my ummah that they go to heaven are those people that they have a good حسن خلق. They are good tempered people. You see that it's a very heavy amal that it is through the life of Rasulullah, every day, routine of life of Rasulullah. I'm sitting here and I'm praising Rasulullah, Alhamdulillah. He is like this, he is like that. But when someone looks at me and says, are you following, are you calling yourself Muslim? But what we heard about him is different with what you. My children, I'm raising them up. And I'm trying to say, you have to be a good Muslim as well. You have to come to the center as well. You have to say your salat as well. He looks at me and says, if Islam is this and this akhlaq, I won't want it. I don't want to be Muslim. I have a lot of youth, a lot of clients that they ask me, what happened to my children? I did this and that. I says, how's your akhlaq? How's your temper at home? How do you treat them? Because they think this is the home. They can do whatever they want. It can be however they want. How is your akhlaq at home? How do you interact in front of them? If this is the example, if you are, imagine 40, 50, 60 years old, and this is the result of Islam, and I'm afraid of you, I'm scared of you, if this is the Islam, is what? I don't want to be this person. That is the importance of the husn khulq. And I will answer, what is the heaviest and the most difficult amal? Let's go to this part that, who is a good tempered person? First of all, when you talk about husn khulq, it's a permanent adjective. If I smile at you one or two times, you don't call me a good tempered person. You don't tell me I have a good akhlaq. Husn khulq, I want you to get used to this term, husn khulq wal akhlaq, is the thing that you have to always have it. If someone is very nice outside when it comes to home, he's very bad tempered with his family, with his wife, with his children, you don't call this person a good tempered person, right? It's a permanent adjective if someone's life that they are always having a good husn khulq, and that's what you call them. There are many signs of having a good temper. I'm going to a very interesting part. While I'm introducing these signs and these factors, I want you to analyze your life. Don't go to your husband or to your wife or to your children or to your, you know, parents. To yourself. And try to see how many of these factors do you have or you don't have in your life. If I ask you, who is a good tempered person? You said, the one that I can hang out with them and it's so nice and they're, you know, fun or... But when it comes to Ahlul Bayt, when it comes to Hadith, we see no. A good tempered person is not just the one who smiles. We have a lot of things. Number one, according to Hadith, a good tempered person is the one who always have a positive face. The facial expression is always positive, is always happy. Let's go to the life of Rasulullah. La yura illa dhahika. Whenever they saw Rasulullah, he had a smile on his face. But Sayyid, many times we have difficulties and problems and stress in our lives. What do you mean? Definitely we have a stress and difficulties for your life. I have my difficulties, but it's not your fault. I should not convey my difficulties to you when I see you. I come to the center, I say salam to someone. Alaykum as-salam. It's not my... Is it Islam? This is totally opposite of the life of Rasulullah.
he attracted people.
Who?
Those people at that time, you know how uncivilized they were, to Islam, by his khulq, by his smile, by being nice to them. Having a, you know, sometimes you see someone at the beginning of the day, at the, you know, that person is positive. You, that person made your day. Says, thank you so much, you made my day. Just speak. And sometimes you meet someone that is, you know, it's to himself or herself, is very negative. Whenever you talk to them, how's everything? Ya Allah, don't even ask. So much pain here and over there. And my husband, don't even ask about my husband. Oh my God, you know what's going on. My wife, oh my God, you know. Always complain. You don't even want to be with that person. Right? It's too much negativity. When it comes to life of Ahlul Bayt, how many times we see that Ahlul Bayt are like this? How many times I opened the door, I came home, I'm making it very practical. How many times I came home, I opened the door, I came from work, and I give a smile to my wife. But I was working, say, the whole day, you know I'm tired. Yeah, I know you're tired. But what is the fault of? The residents of the household that they are. If you can, you know, make a balance between these two, then that's a big problem. How many times I open the door, I know that my husband is coming home and it's a long day. How many times I went before he comes, open the door for him, say salam to him, and give him a great and beautiful salam, salam, and also, you know, happy face, and says, you know what, welcome home. Definitely these two, great family, great and beautiful family, and this man is so attached to his household. He cannot wait to come home, because sometimes you see that within the family, it's the way that the man, when he's going to come home at 5 o'clock, this is the beginning of his stress. Oh my God, I don't want to go home. Because it's going to be the beginning of the fight. The opposite way, they are waiting for the father and for the husband to come home. That's the beginning of their stress. Oh my God, he's coming home and he's going to, you know, fight a lot. And oh my God, you better stay at job and you work, whatever you are. This is not the house. The house should be the nest. Should be the place that I cannot wait to be there. Should be fun. Then we see that this is because of the akhlaq and husn khulq. How many times I was like this nice to my family? The hadith said, "Al-mu'minu bishruhu fi wajhih wa huznuhu fi qalbih." The happiness and the positivity of a mu'min is in his face, and the sadness and difficulties and the stress in his heart. I know you work a lot during the day. I know that you had to travel, you know, many times, many hours during the home and work and all the things. I know the Atlanta traffic, I heard this is very worse, although it's not worse than LA, but I heard it's very bad. And you're tired, you're coming home. But you know you have to put everything behind the door. All those difficulties behind the door, shake your coat, and then go home. This is the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt. This is what I can see from the life of Rasulullah. He's saying, أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلْقًا وَخَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. You know who is the closest one to me at the Day of Judgment? Rasulullah is saying, the one who has the best husn khulq, good temper, and the best to his family. I can be next to him if I have a good husn khulq. And when I say family, it doesn't mean just husband and wife. It can be my parents, my children, my siblings. It's all part of that. My husn khulq, how I'm interacting with... I had a client, you know, for the whole time that I was talking to them, I see that they don't even smile at each other. At all. They talk to each other, but they're very, you know, having a serious facial expression towards each other. I'm like, if you have a little bit of smile, even your communication would be different. And this is even good for your dunya. Imagine at work, if they want to give promotion to two people, the same level, the same skill, who do you give it to? One have a better khulq and akhlaq and temper, the other one doesn't have it. They give to the one who has a better husn khulq. When you want for interview a job, they ask you, one of the questions is that, psychologically, is that, how do you work with a team? Even for dunya, we have the hadith, even for dunya is good. So my question is that, this husn khulq, believe me, I saw many people, he is very nice, he's very successful, he's very rich. As soon as you ask him, brother, how's everything? Oh my God, my hand is killing me.
That's the first thing that he says.
You don't see the other beauties that you have in life. You don't see all the favors that you have in your life. You focus directly to the negativity and problems you have.
Then the first step is what? Is the husna qul of having a husna qul, is the positive face, being happy and gifted to other people. The second, while I'm saying it, I want to analyze my life and your life. When you're saying it, when I'm saying it, think about this. The second one is that they talk very nicely with each other. A good tempered person always uses nice words. The way that he or she is talking to others is a very nice way of talking. Imagine either friends or families, which is more important.
I think sometimes I see the way that the couples, they talk to each other or they call each other. These beautiful and nice and sweet words that we hear are not for Hollywood movies or romantic books. Are there for us to call each other with these names? We see that this is the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt. This is what they promoted, what they wanted us to do. It's to what? When we talk to each other very respectfully, very nicely, and very sweet. How we talk to each other? He wants to tell his wife to do something. Hey, bring the tea, I'm thirsty. Oh.
This is not the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt. This is not the way that... But we see that how much this communication, if you talk nicely to each other, and, you know, it doesn't matter, husband to wife to husband, children to parents, they all, the household, if you don't even watch it, it leads to something else. I had a client, you know, the whole family, Muslim, unfortunately, you know, had this problem, that they had three children, very young, the oldest one was 14. You cannot find any bad words or cursing that they were not using against the family, against the parents, and again, I can't even say what they were saying. Where did they learn from? The family, the parents, how they talk to each other, how nicely they are nice to each other. Very interesting, I want you to pay attention. Quran says to Prophet Musa, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. He said, go to Fir'aun, Musa, go to Fir'aun, because he exceeded the what? The bounds and boundaries. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. And when you go there, talk to him in a very nice and soft words. Musa is going to talk to who? To Fir'aun. Who is Fir'aun? The one who claimed that he is God. The worst sin that you can imagine. But Allah is telling Musa, when you want to go to talk to Fir'aun, the way that you're talking should be soft, should be nice. Maybe he would realize his mistakes, the rest of ayah, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ وَيَخْشَى. Or maybe he will have the fear of Allah. He says you have to talk to Fir'aun like this. When I look at myself, I see sometimes I'm really a Fir'aun when I talk to my family. One of the scholars say very nicely, he said, you know what, every single of us, we have a Fir'aun within ourselves. It depends on how big is our Egypt. The Fir'aun of that time, his Egypt was so big. My Egypt might be my family, my household. I oppress my family members, right? Or my Egypt might be my work. My employees, I'm oppressing them. This is still the same personality of that person, right? And I don't want to have the personality of that person. So when it says, talk to your enemies like this, then let alone when it comes to your families. And I want to use here to see how many people they go against Islam. Quran is saying you go talk to Fir'aun and talk nicely. Let's go to different parts. We see that these people that nowadays they claim to be Muslim, these savage and barbaric people, bloodthirsty people, any groups like ISIS or MISIS. When you see that, what? We see that Quran is saying you talk to Fir'aun, talk nicely to the worst person in the world. Then how come you want to kill some people because they're not only Muslims? That's it? To talk, you say you have to talk very nicely. When it comes to Rasulullah, he's talking to mushrikeen, disbelievers. He's talking nicely. Then when did you get the permission to kill people for the sake of Allah because they're not believing in what we believe in? When you go to the biography and the sunnah of Rasulullah, you see that in Medina, in the city of Rasulullah, he's living with Christian and Jewish and all those people around him, and he's protecting their lives. And what you're doing is totally against the life of Rasulullah. And it's totally against Quran. You see, when someone just wants to say, to praise Ahlul Bayt and to praise Rasulullah, doesn't matter. And just say if that's enough, if I just praise them and I want to have my own version, then things would happen. They go away from the path of Ahlul Bayt, right? So the second one is very important, that the way that they talk to each other. When it comes to, I want to introduce you, if I want to find the best example of the most successful family in the whole world, should I say, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Smith are the most successful? No. You have yourself this great example in front of you. Who are they? The life of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayhima. The most successful household, the couples, and look at the result of this life, the children, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Zainab, Umm Kulsoom, the best of people that you can find are the result of this marriage. Where they are coming from? If there was any problem, any difficulties between the two husbands and two, you know, these people, first of all, we would have it in the history, by the way, that day, because they had enough enemy to report it. And we wouldn't have what? The result of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, all these people. Whenever Rasulullah wanted to call Amir al-Mu'mineen, very nice word, Amir al-Mu'mineen, very nice word. And look at the measurement. One day, Rasulullah came home and asked Amir al-Mu'mineen, how did you find your wife? What kind of wife she is? Look at the measurement he's giving. He said, نِعْمَ الْعَوْنْ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. A great help and support to worship Allah. That means what? That means she never upset me, she never made the situation difficult for me that I can worship Allah, do my job. And then Rasulullah asked Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did you find your husband? She said, the best husband in the world to take care of. If this is the example, this is the model in front of me, then I have to look at their life and my life, huh? How was? I've been married for 5 years or 50 years. Where in this scale I have problems? Where I'm following Ahlul Bayt in this part? But Sayyid, you know, we are getting older or something. It's never old. The ahkam of Islam is not a theory. It's not theoretically that they say you have to be Muslim in theory. No, it is in action. In action, and whenever you want and you find you have to, stop it and find the path and go to that path. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And you see that this communication, how they talk to each other, how nicely they talk to each other, it is very important. The third one is that a person who has a good husna khul is very fair. Whatever he wants for himself, however he wants his wife to be, he is as nice as that to the wife. If I want to see that my wife is respecting me, I have to respect her. If I want my husband to respect me, I have to respect him. If I want my children to respect me, I have to respect my spouse in front of them to see and to teach them how to do it. You do not know how many times we have these difficulties that the children, they have problems when they don't respect parents because of what? Because they didn't learn. Where should they find this from? From parents, they have to see that. So, then let alone you can get it from the bigger picture when it comes to the community, to other people, how we are respecting to each other, with each other. How is the respect within each other? How we respect each other? How we talk to each other, even when we have difficulties and problems. Number five, they love each other and they show their passion and love to each other. They show their passion and love to each other. I want to ask this question. What was the last time that I told my wife or my husband, I love you? And some people said, yeah, every day I say it, but how about in action? Imagine I every day tell my wife, I love you and I love you. She said, can you buy this for me? Huh, stop here. I don't love you that much. Can you do this? No, it's too much, you know. What kind of love? In action and in word, right? My akhlaq is not a good akhlaq in the household. But when it comes to the word, some people, they know how to do, right? No, in action, in word. But some people, they show it in action. I talk to a lot of people, specifically, I'm saying very quietly, specifically in our cultures. Huh? Say it, kill me, but don't ask me to say I love you. I can't say I love you to my husband. Wait, wait. Me? Say it. This is against my culture. My grandfather, if he heard that I said I love you to my wife, he's going to come out of the grave and he's going to curse me. But we see that when it comes to Ahlul Bayt, no, that's different. The hadith is saying, let me say it very interesting. If you have a brother and sisters in the community, you have a brother that you love him, فَأَخْبَرْهُ, tell him that, brother, I love you so much. If you have a sister in the community that you know, that you love that person, go to them and say, I love you. Then when it comes to the family members, how many children? What was the last time? I want to make it a little bit more interesting. What was the last time that I told my children? Say, you're getting older, I can't say it, I can't. Really? You want to be an example? You know the example. Zahra Zahmulayo, she has children. That's what Allah kissed her hands. That's what Allah kissed her in her chest. Is this the sunnah of Rasulullah? Oh, imagine I sit here, another, like I said, sit here every year, the birthday of Rasulullah, and I'm just be happy and I go home. No. Tonight when I want to leave this door, I will check my spiritual pocket to see what I learned from Rasulullah. Is there any promises that I made? What do I want to do from tomorrow? Am I different? Did I find my problems or not? Otherwise, these days, and I'm asking you, what is the reason of how many shahada and how many viladat and Ramadan and Sha'ban and Rajab, and do Allah needs these things? No, these are the excuses for us to, hey, this is just the birthday of Rasulullah and Imam al-Salih. Go read, go learn, and act upon them into your life. The fifth one, they appreciate each other. All these signs that I'm telling you are among the most important signs that when we see there is marital difficulties and marital dissatisfactions, we see that the majority of these factors are associated with that. Appreciation. Quran says, Allah said, when someone does something to you, you have to appreciate. I'm asking you, if you go outside, you want to, you know, enter or exit somewhere. Usually in this culture, it's a very nice, you know, culture that they keep the door open for you. And what do you say in return? Thank you. And if you keep the door open for someone and doesn't say thank you, you said, that was rude. You're supposed to thank, right? To that extent, if someone keeps the door open for me, I'll say thank you. Even if that happened 5 times, I'll say still thank you. When it comes to my household, my family, my wife, what did you do? You were home all day. It's so easy. I was out, so cold, driving. Oh, what did you do? At most you cooked something? You took care of. I really urge you that one day you stay home and do these things. Please. How many years I want to go like this and have problems and difficulties? There's somewhere that I have to stop. And Quran says, we created you men and women from the same naps. And we put kindness and love within you, between you guys. Mawaddatan wa rahmah. If you guys don't have a good family, if the family of Muslims, they don't have a good family, who should they have a good family? Difficulties and problems and stress. Then appreciation. Man lam yashkur al makhluq lam yashkur al khaliq. And we see that beautiful. There is a hadith from Imam Rizu alayhi salam. The hadith is saying, when others do something to you, you consider it very big. When you do something for others, don't consider it big. This is one of the signs of the wisdom. When I see that my husband did something, even the small things, I consider it big. And I say it. Why we don't say it? It's very interesting. Why we don't say it? I know that you go out. I just wanted to appreciate you all the day you go out. This is cold. You drive, all the things. You have a lot of hassles and problems at work. You come home. I wanted to appreciate it.
such a great family. He comes to home and says, you know what? I want to appreciate you. I know how difficult it is that you're taking care of the children. I can't even stand, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes from there. You're doing the all ladies things. I wanted to appreciate you. Such a great and beautiful family. Such a great attachment that this family have together. Such a great children that are watching and observing what the couple, what their parents are doing. Then where should I follow the Sunnah of Ahlul Bayt? Appreciation. There is many needs that men and women they have. One of them is appreciation, to say thank you to each other. And then Allah bless you more if you do that. He will bless you more if you do that. The sixth one is that when they talk to each other, the good-tempered person, when you see that someone is talking to him, he doesn't interrupt that person. They listen carefully. And I want you to pay extra attention to this one. They listen to each other. They don't cut off each other when they talk. This is very important. One of the most important factors, Salaam alaykum wa rahmatullah. Salaam ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. One of the most important factors associated with marital satisfaction is what? Is communication. Huge percent of the problem between couples is because they can't talk to each other. They can't communicate with each other. So far, whatever family we had, I can tell you 98% we solved the problems because of the communication. That we teach them how to talk to each other. I had a client, they were living with each other for over 15 years. Over 15 years. They have two children. Within the third week, she looked at me, she looked at the husband and says, it looks like this is the first time I'm meeting this person. I've never heard anything that he's saying. The girl said the same thing. She says, this person is completely new identity to me. I didn't even know. The guy says, you know what? Whenever I was washing dishes, she was complaining. And she came to me and she said, you know what, I hate my husband to wash dishes. He didn't know about this. And they were always having a problem. He said, I'm helping you and you're complaining. Because they couldn't communicate, they didn't know about this. And what is the problem here? Communication. The sunnah of Imam Ahlul Bayt, the sunnah of Rasulullah, the respect in the sunnah of Imam Rida alayhi salam, we hear that he never ever caught someone when they were talking, interrupting someone. You see that in the sunnah about ulama and maraj. When someone talks to them, they very nicely and respectfully listen to them. Sometimes you see that, not very professional, you know, a few years probably, 1 or 2 year talibah is going to maraj and is saying that to his ustad and saying, by the way, I heard this hadith, a new hadith or something. We see that the maraj or the ustad is listening very nicely, very carefully. And then, MashaAllah, that's great. And then you will realize that 20 years ago he was saying the same hadith to his people and his, you know, his friends. But we see sometimes, you know what, to this extent, someone is going to say a joke. You know, this has happened a lot. He has a joke to share with me. As soon as he wants to start, oh, I heard about this, don't worry about it. Don't kill that passion, be patient, don't interrupt. Listen to this, communication has three skills. Number one, listening well. If you see that you have a problem with your family, doesn't matter any members of the family, it's because of one of the things. Listening well, understanding well, and responding well. Each and every single communication that had problem is because of one of these three. I either don't listen and I interrupt, I know what you want to say. 15 years you're saying the same things and I don't want to listen, I cut it, huh? No. Oh, I listen, I don't understand. So now look at you, huh? Yeah. But I don't understand what you're saying. Oh, I can't respond it properly. These are the three steps that I have to know in communication. There was a client who says, you know what? He says, I talk to my wife all the time. I tell her, how did you sleep? How was your day? And that's communication. They think this is the communication. No. Communication, that means talking and understanding and responding. There's a challenge I want to tell you. Next time that you want to talk to your wife, your husband, your children, see how long you can be quiet and listen. Just listen. Not to interrupt. But say that I know what she's going to say. No, just don't assume. Assumption is the worst thing. We got this from the Sunnah of Ahlul Bayt. How respectful, how nicely. They were coming to a masjid and asking them all these things, and they were nice and quiet. Sabr, patience, tolerance. Afdalul a'mal ahfazuhum. The most difficult amal is the most difficult. The best amal is the most difficult one. The tolerance. You know how easy is what I'm saying? The tolerance, when you are in the middle of the fight, when you are so upset with your Quran says, Ahlul Bayt, we have hadith, they said, you know what? Kathbul ghayz wal kathameen al ghayz. You have to be able to eat and control your wrath. So when it comes to this point, I'm in the middle of the fight and she made something that it's totally my right. And I want to respond it back to her, to show it to her that you shouldn't talk to me this way. And I have the right. If you didn't have the right, you couldn't, definitely you should not. And you should not say anything, right? You should be quiet. And you have the right and you can say something. Quran says, Ahlul Bayt says, the sunnah of Rasulullah says what? Don't say anything. Be quiet. Control it. The wrath and anger. Sometimes we say this and says, next time I have to be quiet. So she said something that upset me and I want to control myself. So I will say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Sayyid said I have to control myself. Otherwise I would say something that you will never forget. You already said that. You already relieved yourself. No. Be quiet and control yourself. That means nothing. You see how difficult? That's why it says حسن خلق that Rasulullah لعنى خلق عظيم. He had to the toughest level. How difficult. In the field. Not what I'm saying, so easy to talk about. In the middle of the thing that your father said something to you and he really makes you upset. And it doesn't make sense at all. And you have the whole right in the whole world. Quran says what? وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا. You say there is وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا. You know what is the meaning of off? It's the lightest word that you can find. Off means nothing. Off means my mom said do it, I said again. Not even again, just the lightest thing, right? If it was lighter than this, Quran would use that word. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا off. In the middle of that, that is so difficult to control myself. My father, my mom said something, and I have the right, I control myself. Huh? So you see the husn khulq, how many levels the husn khulq. Again, we are praising Rasulullah and Ahl Bayt, but I want to see how in action I'm following them. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The seventh one is to pay attention to each other. I want to, inshallah, make it quickly because remind me 1 hour before my time, you know, gets over, so I have to stop. Then, inshallah, pretty soon I will stop. Those who want me to finish it soon, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. No, salawat is always good. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the important things here, the seventh one. The one who has a good husn khulq pays attention to others. It's not all about himself. You know, this is something about this culture, individualism. Said he has a problem, I don't care, it's not my fault, it's not my business. Huh? That's individualism culture. That is against Islam. Against Islam is not like this, no. Islam is like, no, it's about you, it's about me. I'm not going to be nosy and intrusive, but if you have a difficulty, it's my difficulty as well. If I can help you, I have to help you. This is Sunnah of Ahlul Bayt, Sunnah of Rasulullah. Huh? That's what they promoted. Even to the attention, extend. They pay attention to each other. One of the needs, men and women, they have different needs. One of the needs of women is attention. How many times I went home and I paid attention to what she did? How many times I paid attention to my family, to my daughter, to my son? I heard this in one of the psychology, sessions, that when you want to buy a gift for your family members, imagine you have gifts for everyone. When you come home, give the gifts first to your daughter and your wife, and then to your son. I was like, what is it for? Then a few weeks after that, I was reading a hadith book. I saw there's a hadith from Rasulullah. When you buy a gift for your families, first give it to your daughter or to your wife. The female version of the household. Because of the attention. What was the last time that I paid attention to my daughter is very important what I'm going to say. What was the last time that I praised her? But what I wanted to say, I'm very proud of you. You're beautiful, you're smart. I'm proud of you. What was the last thing that I said? God knows. You know what would happen? She goes to the class. I'm being quiet so because I don't want to interrupt them. That's what I want to do. And she goes to the university, to the class, and there's a guy coming and praising. You're beautiful, you're smart, she looks, this is the best man in the world. You know why? Because he could see my beauties. I haven't heard this from my dad or anyone else that a man, right? But someone who has and who got this within the family, being satisfied with this need of attention, when someone says, you know, you're this and that, it says, thank you so much, I already got it. My tongue is full. You cannot fool me. I know about this. That's why the Qasim said, I don't know why they're like this, what happened to them. Because I didn't follow Maktab of Ahlul Bayt to this extent as well. Again, the example, how many times Rasulullah praised Zahra salamu alayha? How many times he paid attention to her? Yes, she was Zahra salamu alayha, Sayyidah Zahra. Yes, she was like that. But part of these interactions, part of this is the teaching for me, to teach me how you should be. Yes, she definitely deserved it, but this is a teaching for me. The life of Rasulullah is all teaching for us to see and to learn and to apply to my lives. Then what was the last time I did and how I did it? You can get these examples and use it for other things. I saw one day a very nice gentleman, young, studying UCLA, one of the most prestigious universities. He was a drug addict. One of the best majors. What happened? Attention. You might do your best, but it's not all about the money. It's not about. It's about the khulq. It's about teaching them. It's about the communication. It's about the attention. It's about finding the problems. What was the last time that I talked to him, to my son? What was the last time that I said, Dad, do you have any concern in life? Is there anything that is bothering you? Let's go out, talk to each other. Let's do this and that. I was so neglected. I think if I provide food for them, that's the only responsibility of a father that should do. But I said, no, it's way beyond this. And when it comes to the tadbir, we said it started from the very, very early ages, not that you leave it, you know. This is very interesting. All the things that I'm saying and explaining, because of the good temper and husn khulq, look what the hadith is saying. I'm not saying for myself. The hadith is saying, husn khulq yathbutul mawadda. Husn khulq would strengthen the love between people. Good temper person would have a great relationship with others. Doesn't matter, a job and others, you know, within the family, household, other friends. Not even that, the hadith said, حُسْنُ الْخُلُقْ مِنَ الدِّينِ وَهُوَ يَزِيدُ فِي الرِّزْقِ. It will add into your rizq. Again, people like to work with those people that they have better حُسْنُ الْخُلُقْ, better temper. Not those people, you know, that I don't want to see them or to be, you know, dealing with that negativity. Then you see how many times we have the opportunity to look at the life of Ahlul Bayt and look at our life and see what we have to do. And then very quickly, inshallah, to finish it, who is a bad-tempered person? You can say all this opposite of these attributes that we mentioned, but beside this thing that you can actually think about this, there's a hadith that says a bad-tempered person, or the one who has a problem, is the hadith I want to tell you. There is four things. If someone has the things, he's a bad-tempered person. Four things. Number one, al-ajala. Being in hurry. Not only in hurry to do something, to go to work or do something, always be in hurry. Maybe be in hurry in judging people. I had a wedding party and I invited a family, they didn't come. See?
they never, you know, pay attention to us. They don't care about us. No, don't judge them. Don't do ajala. Don't do be in inherit to judge people. She did something, he did something, and be in hurry to what? To judge people. No. Let me share this story very nicely with you. They said there was a lady at the airport, and she bought a bag of chips for herself. She bought a bag of chips for herself, and she sat down. She was waiting for the plane. She sat down, and she started eating her chips, and there was a guy next to her, and she saw that he is taking the chips from her bag. I look at him and says, how rude he is. He didn't even ask, and he's eating from my bag. And he got so frustrated because one, she was getting. He didn't say anything. It was like, how rude he is. He didn't even ask me. All the way to the last pieces of the chips. The last piece, she saw that he got it. He split it in half. One for her, one for himself. So, oh my God, this is the end of the world. Look what he is doing. She was so mad, so red, so furious, left, oh my God, you know, and showed to him that how upset she is. She left and she went to the airplane, she sat down, and she wanted to get something from her purse. She opened it and she saw that the bag of chips in her purse. It was for him. And she was getting it. And he didn't say even anything. It being inherited to judge. This is an example, but you know sometimes how horrible it can be and it can go. As soon as he does something, where have you been? Oh, you were supposed to be here. Tell me, you were somewhere else? Or she said something? No, patience. Patience. Be not in ajala. The second one, al-lajaja, stubbornness. When I see that I have a problem, when I see that I made a mistake, I should be brave enough to apologize. That was my mistake. If I want to show I'm a good person, I'm a man or something, it's not about being stubborn on my, you know, mistake. It says, no, this is the way that it is. Inshallah, later on you will understand why I did it. No, I made a mistake. I apologize. And I teach my family, my children to learn this, that yeah, I made a mistake, I apologize, that's it. The third one, al-ujba wal-ghurur, arrogance, being arrogant. This is something that a bad-tempered person, he has what? He has distance of an attribute of being, you know, arrogant all the time. Not only with family, with others, with friends, at work. This is a bad-tempered person. This is what we see, tons of hadith that we have. That this is against the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is against Ahlul Bayt. And the last one is At-Tawani. Tawani with ta means laziness. Being lazy. At-Tawani, Amir al-Muslimin says, Man ata' at-Tawani dhayya al-huquq. Whoever is lazy would violate the rights of other people. Doesn't matter, a man, a woman, children, doesn't matter. If a man doesn't do his responsibility, being lazy all the time, he's violating the rights of family and others. So we see that, again, what we said tonight is that we have to look at the life of Ahlul Bayt in action, find something that I am missing, the lack of those attributes in my life, and try to fix it. I might have problem with my eyes, with my tongue, with my, you know, hands, whatever. I know my problems with my akhlaq, with my anger. Then I have next to me someone that can help me. I can ask my wife, my husband. This is very interesting. What I want to say is that ask them, can you please help me? I'm trying, because I said marriage, when you marry, you complete your iman, right? We all heard about this. In marriage. What do you mean? As soon as I said qabiltu, my iman is the most complete iman? No. This hadith means when you marry someone, you have a great support to work together to go easier towards salvation. If I was single and I was having a bad temper, I was not patient enough, I had temper with my anger. Now that I am married, I should work with my wife, with my husband, to be more patient, to be what? That's why Amir al-Mu'minin told you, says, نِعْمَ الْعَوْنَ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, when he talks about Zahra salamu alayha. That's why I'm getting married, that if I had any problem, I can control my anger. I share with my wife. I say, you know what? Can you help me next time? I'm going to work on that. This is one of the Islamic stages that I have to cope with. Next time that I want to be angry, you remind me, honey. Remember we talked about this, you were supposed to help. You asked me to help you. Don't be angry. So we'll talk about this. Such a great help. Next time that she's going to be furious, say something. Honey, I told you, just, you know, hold into it. I will leave, you just hold into it, because we're practicing together. We're practicing to complete our iman together. This is all together. And again, if there is anything, we shouldn't just say, you know what, we're living and it's been a long time that we're like this. No, we have to actually work together. It doesn't mean how old, how what age, how many years we have been together. If you look at the life of Ahlul Bayt, if someone is 90 years old and he's not Muslim, what do you expect them if they find the truth to convert to Islam? You can't say, oh, you know what, you're too old, and just not convert to Islam. If a Muslim finds there is a wrong path that he was taking, she was taking, the akhlaq, the life, how they were, it was nice, they have to convert it to the nice and right path, inshallah, with the help of Allah and Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin wa ajjal farajahum. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والناصر ومد في عمره الشريف وزين الأرض بطول بقائه واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته يا رحمن يا رحيم ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم. We ask you kindly for the sake of your Rasul and Ahlul Bayt, please hasten in the dhuhur of our beloved Imam, Imam Mahdi. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, give us tawfiq and opportunity to learn more about the ma'arif of them and be able to apply into our lives. Ya Allah, help our youth make them successful in dunya wal akhirah. Remove the obstacles towards their marriage. Ya Allah, anyone in this world being oppressed, provide the opportunities for their freedom. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, any of our friends that are sick, couldn't come to this majlis and the same majalis, please cure them all at this time. Those who passed away, send the thawab and reward out of this majlis to their soul, inshallah. Rahimallahu man yaqra'u al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.